Good morning. This is March 18th, 2022, the second Friday of Lent, a day of abstinence from meat, the third day of the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Spring Spirit Drive, and the feast of St. Cyril of Jerusalem, a great doctor and teacher of the faith. My name is Bill Messerly. I'm in the studio with Dave Orsborn.
Good morning. Good to be
and
back.
And Father Adam Streitenberger.
Good morning.
You know, we've had some great fun the last few days. The most encouraging thing that I can take out of the last few days is the youthful energy that is in our community.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
It's nice to be surrounded by young people, isn't it?
It is. Makes us feel a lot younger.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, maybe people don't realize. I mean, Columbus is a very young city. You know, there's, of course, with OSU and all the other, I mean, there's a, I think there's 120,000 undergrad students in Franklin County.
Wow.
So it's, you know, it's a very youthful city anyway, but also the church in Columbus is very young, you know, and there's so many young lay missionaries and also apostolates to youth and to young adults. So, and a very active young adult community, not just in YCP, but, you know, in parish young adult groups and everything.
So. I wasn't aware, actually, of how many just small communities are forming in the parishes, which is so good. I think one of our guests, who is the young lady that you mentioned?
Katie?
Yeah. Is meeting in a community at Sacred Heart.
Yeah, you know, and well, one of the interesting things is with young adults is they're not as strongly attached to one parish. So they may live in, you know, a particular neighborhood. They may go to Mass at one place. They may go to formation at another place and then adoration to another parish. And, you know, so they're very flexible and they kind of move around to get what they need, which, you know, community formation, the sacraments, the liturgy and everything. So,
Father Adam, can you start our community off with a prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we rejoice in this day, this gift of penance, which you give us in this Friday in Lent. We ask, O Lord, that through our abstinence, through our fasting, through our prayer, through our almsgiving, we may come to a deeper conversion and a renewed encounter with Jesus Christ, your Son. We ask this through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen.
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 Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
And since today is the feast of St. Cyril of Jerusalem, a great catechist, all of us have been impacted in our faith journey by a special teacher in our life. It might be a parent, it might be a teacher, it might be a priest. We'd like to challenge you to make that gift this morning in their name. Give us a call, 614-459-4820, or go online at stgabrielradio.com, 614-459-4820. And there's many ways to give, but we've kind of boiled it down to three. Dave?
Yep. Leadership gifts of $1,000 or more. If you have the means and you love Catholic Radio, we invite you to become one of our leadership donors. We also have the lifeblood of the station, the foundation of our support, our sustaining members. So that's a gift of $20 or more per month. You can also make a one-time donation as a sustaining member. And then we also have, of course, one-time gifts. So if you've never participated in our radio mission, this is a great way for you to become involved by participating with a one-time gift. We also have business members that are $60 per month. If you have a business that you'd like to have messaging on St. Gabriel Radio, it's $60 per month, and you receive 100 messages per year. So there's a lot of ways to support St. Gabriel Radio. Number one is always prayer. We ask you to pray for our church and for our apostolate so that we're able to remain faithful and bring you good Catholic programming. And we've done this now for 16 years. So
614-459-4820 or go online at stgabrielradio.com. Father Adam, today's reading.
Yeah, so in our gospel reading, we hear a very familiar parable, which is the parable of the vineyard. So the Lord, first of all, he's talking to the chief priests and the elders of the people, And he proposes this parable, which actually, it's a parable which was used in the Old Testament as well by the prophets. And it's of this vineyard, which is, you know, kind of laid out. There's a hedge around it. There's a wine press. There's a tower, et cetera, et cetera. And the owner has leased out the vineyard. And so the tenants, however, so, you know, the owner sends servants to kind of collect his rent or his, yeah, you know, share. And the tenants kind of beat and kill.
Kind of.
They beat and kill the servants. They, you know, they reject, you know, the tenant's ownership of the vineyard. And they don't give the proper fruit. So then in the parable, the Lord proposes that this owner then thinks, well, let me send my son because they are not going to reject my son. Well, indeed, they do. They reject the son, and they do the same thing to him as they did to the servants. And, of course, the parable, both from the Old Testament and then also here, it does point to Israel. Israel kind of is the vineyard. And the servants that and the owner, of course, is the Lord. The owner, the servants that have been sent are the prophets, and Israel continually kind of rejects the prophets. This is sort of this story that, you know, they would kill off the prophets or reject them. And then, of course, you know, this idea then that the father is going to send his son as the ultimate prophet, which we know the fulfillment in Jesus Christ, who is the son of the father, and who is the fulfillment of truth. And nonetheless, the parable predicts and points to the fact that they're going to reject and kill the son that has been sent as well. And, you know, what's interesting is the Lord lays this all out. And I think the thing that really struck me as I was praying with this passage is the Lord is, he's basically telling them, although not 100% directly, but, I mean, with enough direction that they should get it, that they're going to reject him. And then at the very end, it says, and although they were attempting to arrest him, they feared the crowds, for they regarded him as a prophet. So even as he's telling them this story, they're plotting his destruction. And I think what really strikes me is how we, even though we know and, you know, and have been warned 100 and 1,000 times, you know, not to reject the Lord, and you know, of course, through sin, we reject the Lord. Nonetheless, we're still plotting new sins in our life, even as we're receiving these warnings. And, you know, and I think that's, it's appropriate for Lent, because in Lent, you know, even though we talk a lot about fasting, we talk a lot about abstinence and prayer and almsgiving, the most important task that we do in Lent is the sacrament of confession. Like, that is the most important point, because we continually are rejecting the Lord and are persecuting the Lord by our sins. And even in this season of Lent, where we're, you know, we have a heightened awareness of our sinfulness and of our rejection of the Lord, nonetheless, we're still falling into sin, and we're still plotting new ways to reject the Lord. And so it gives us a challenge, and it's been connected, I think, in the last couple readings, is to not, and it's connected to this weekend's gospel as well, you know, is we really need to stop fooling ourselves into thinking that we're not rejecting the Lord, because even when we're receiving all these warnings and these challenges, nonetheless, we're finding new ways to reject him.
What do you think, Father, is at the heart of it for the Pharisees? Is it greed? Is it spiritual pride?
You know, it's probably a combination of all those things. I think, you know, we could reduce it to power and control, that they've got a nice system going, you know, the law and the Mosaic law and the Jewish, both the temple system and the synagogue system. It's a good system for them. It kind of is convenient for them. You know, they've kind of mastered it. They're able to live a fairly easy life, but then also seem very pious and religious at the same time. So I think that that's, the Lord challenges us in our sort of egocentric comfort zone. And that's the biggest challenge, I think, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and, you know, the priests and, you know, all of the elders of the people, is the Lord is challenging them in their comfort zone, the system that they've created. And so we always have to be prepared for the Lord to move us into a new direction and move us beyond our expectations and move us beyond how we think it should all be. So, I mean, obviously all those other things, you know, greed, pride, all of those other, they're part of it. But I do think it's in the end, it's egocentrism.
And protecting the system, right? Or a way of doing things. And that's key to the new evangelization also, right? I mean, is to have that boldness and the creativity, I guess, that would be not to reject everything, but to find new ways, new means of proclaiming the gospel.
Yeah, I mean, part of the new event, the most important thing, the newest thing of the new evangelization is actually something that's continual, that's never really new, and that is the gospel challenge. That's the most important newness of the new evangelization, is that we need that new call to conversion and that renewed call to conversion. And yeah, there are new methods, there are new modes of communication, there's a new cultural situation, but the church always finds herself in a new cultural situation. Mm-hmm. The most important newness is the newness of the gospel, which calls us to a new way of living. And so that's what I would say, is that is precisely why we need the new evangelization, is we find ourselves in a comfort zone that we've created for ourselves, and the gospel challenges us.
Well, let me challenge our listeners. This is the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Spring Spirit Drive. We do need to stretch ourselves to get outside of our comfort zone. We as Catholics try to live in the moment and live graciously. So give graciously this morning, 614-459-4820 or stgabrielradio.com. Father Adam is talking about our gospel reading today, Matthew 21. And the landowner had planted a vineyard, asked some tenants to take care of that vineyard, but then the tenants rebelled and stoned and beat and killed even his son, hearkening to our need to reform and to be part of the renewal. And you talked about the importance of reconciliation and confession on a diocesan-wide level. It seems like many parishes over the years, but especially starting the last couple of years, have made a priority to do a reconciliation service on a particular day during Lent.
Yeah, you know, so we did, under Bishop Brennan's leadership, we called for this Reconciliation Monday. So the Monday of Holy Week, all of the churches in the diocese will make the Sacrament of Confession available in that evening. Their times will vary based on, you know, the availability of priests and the need. But so that we're all being reminded of the importance of the Sacrament of Confession, and that really as a local church, as the diocese, we're going to this sacrament together. And of course, parishes have penance services and additional times of confession throughout Lent.
And parish missions.
Sometimes parishes will add confessions between the Sunday masses, so that when people are there on Sunday, they can also go to confession. Schools, both elementaries and high schools, always have kind of confessions offered, the Sacrament of Confession offered during Lent. So, you know, it is, I mean, we make the sacrament more available during this time of Lent, but in that special way, that Monday of Holy Week, to make it even more available.
You know, this all kind of reverts back to renewal. Catholic Radio is part of the renewal effort of certainly every week during our consecration and the Eucharist and our sacraments are the biggest part of our renewal. But how does Catholic Radio renew our community?
Well, you know, and I think especially on this feast of St. Cyril of Jerusalem, who's really known as a catechist. I mean, he was primarily, that's the writings that he left were primarily catechetical to especially post-baptismal catechesis on the sacraments and things like that.
Can you break down, what is catechesis? So, what does it mean to be catechetical?
So catechesis is a word that we use. It comes from the Greek to echo. But catechesis is the formation of people in the truths of the faith. So primarily, when we think of catechesis, we think of a catechism. So, you know, the church has for a long time put out a catechism, which really hits four areas. The first is really the creed.
Mm-hmm.
The second is the sacraments. The third is the Ten Commandments and the moral life. And then the fourth is prayer. So catechesis forms us in those four areas. And it's really a handing on of the truths of the faith. That's another way, I think, to understanding it, is handing on the truths of the faith. You know, in the process of catechesis, it should kind of touch upon the larger themes of evangelization. So we should present the gospel and call people to conversion as we're handing on the truths of the faith. Obviously, we should be touching upon scripture and the sacraments and the importance of the mass and prayer and informing people how to pray. So catechesis is this sort of unique word which we use for handing on the truths of the faith.
And Father Adam did a wonderful series, friends, on catechesis from the cathedral. All these talks that Father delivered. I'm looking at your picture here. It's the clean-shaven version of Father Adam. They're all available on stgabrielradio.com. You go to podcasts. There's a drop-down menu, and you go to catechesis from the cathedral. An entire series of reflections and teachings on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. They're phenomenal. Most of them are about an hour, right? About an hour long. But wonderful to share, with the family also, and to listen to these reflections as a family. One more reason to support St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, 614-459-4820, stgabrielradio.com.
You know, we've all learned so much from St. Gabriel Radio. To show your gratitude, do make your gift at 614-459-4820. And yesterday, I was really struck by the young men and women who are listening into our station. Dave, you talked about maybe the two lies about our young Catholics in our community. What were those two lies that you referenced yesterday?
Yeah, those were my myth busting. I was on a rampage. One is that young people don't have faith, you know, that they're consumed by the world. And obviously, many are, but we have such a good army of young people here in the Diocese of Columbus that are living the faith. They're hungry and they desire the faith. So that's the first myth. Second myth is that they don't listen to Catholic Radio. We heard stories over and over again of how they've integrated St. Gabriel Catholic Radio into their faith life, and when they get together, they share stories of what they're listening to on St. Gabriel Radio. So it's just not for old people. You know, that's the second myth. It's we have all ages that are benefiting from the programming on St. Gabriel Radio.
So don't delay. Do something important today. Share the faith through St. Gabriel Radio. The Spirit Drive volunteers are ready to take your call, 614-459-4820. That's 614-459-4820. And don't forget to go online as well. That might be the fastest way to make your gift this Spirit Drive, and that's at stgabrielradio.com. Father Adam Streitenberger, we've so enjoyed the conversations on discipleship at 8 a.m., what kind of feedback have you been getting other than a little bit of fan mail, maybe? I don't know.
You know, I don't get fan mail. Maybe they just send it here and you guys don't forward it over. I don't.
Yeah, we want to make sure that your head gets out of the studio.
We filter
yeah,
it.
That
yeah,
might
yep.
be it. Yeah, no, it's good, you know.
You
good,
get feedback.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone is very positive about it. So yeah. They, you know, yeah, it's going very well. I enjoy it, even if, you know, I mean, I'm sure other people enjoy it too, so.
A lot of people enjoy it, Father. A lot of people enjoy it. You've done a great job of having a lot of different voices.
Yeah.
To break it down, you know, age-wise, you have young adults, you have older Catholics, you have people that work for parishes, work for the diocese, you have a lot of lay people who are using their vocations, their secular vocations to proclaim the gospel. You've had priests on, you've had a bishop on, so
yeah,
so
deacons,
deacons,
you know, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's a wide range of you know, of guests, and we are beginning now to bring back some older guests, not like age wise but in the sense of from earlier episodes, earlier guests.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's interesting is I don't see any redundancy in it. You know, like there are whole new conversations and whole new directions and everything like that. And
we've done over 300 episodes.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I kind of forget all about that. But yeah, it's we're just pushing them through, and you know, it's always refreshing. One of the things I'm noticing is that we're becoming more and more focused on their story, which is great. Because I think, not to, you know, talk too much about the theory behind the show and everything like that, but at first there was a thought like maybe we should hit topical things. But what I'm finding is that really focusing on the person's own story, you find the topics that you need.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's kind of more organic that way. So it's I'm really, you know, I'm pleased with where it's going, and we're gonna keep pushing out more content. So
talk about that, the stories. Why is that so important?
Well, you know, I think we need to hear how the Lord is at work in other people's lives so that we can explain and talk to others about how the Lord is at work in our own lives. I also think experience is so crucial. We talk about the truths of the faith, you know, that are handed on, you know, through the catechism, the magisterium's teaching. We talk about scripture and how important that is, but experience is really key, and not only our own personal experience, but the experiences of others to also verify the truths of the faith, to see, like, when we take seriously our Catholic faith, our experiences verify that, and everyone's experiences are different and unique, And I do think that in this, with the new evangelization, to kind of go back to that topic, is if we're going to be successful in evangelizing our culture, evangelizing our families, we have to be attentive to our experience and the experience of others, because we need to be able to explain to people convincingly the truths of the faith. That's something that speaks into where they're coming from and what they've experienced. Because we really are, no one wants just a system of rules or a system of like an ideology or something like that. What people want is is a God who shares their life with them and who is present and at work in their life. And that is, that's the beauty of Catholicism, is we believe in the incarnation, that God has come into our lives and that he is at work in our lives.
As we talked about a couple days ago or yesterday, it all blends together now, the charismatic encounter, mm-hmm. right? And that's what all of these stories, all of these episodes of Conversations on Discipleship, heard every weekday morning at 8 a.m., they share. These people have all had that encounter with the mm-hmm. with the living Christ.
Yeah. So I think being able to talk about our experiences and relate it to other people's experiences is key. I also think, if I might be a little controversial, which Ooh. I always try to be, is, you know, I think for the unity of the church, we need to be open to other people's experiences and how they explain their experiences of the Lord. And I think that's our problem, is we think, no, the Lord can only work in this way as he's worked in my life. That's the only way he does it. Mm-hmm. Well, he may do other things in other people's lives that if we hear about, it actually may help us to recognize his presence in our own life. So I think it helps us, as Pope Francis says, and as Bishop Brennan would talk about very often, it helps us to be a listening church, you know, to this sort of active listening, you know, where and where we are open to hearing about how the Lord's at work in other people's lives, and that adds value and meaning to our own lives. So
I'd like to challenge you, our listeners, to make a contribution in honor of Father Adam Streitenberger and the many hours of work that he is doing to be sure that we are hearing those beautiful stories of faith and how God's working in our lives. Give us a call, 614-459-4820, or at stgabrielradio.com. And you can give in a lot of different ways: leadership gifts of $1,000, sustaining membership at $20 a month, one-time gifts in any amount, or as a business member at $60 a month. So give us a call this morning. We need to finish strong today. We want to keep St. Gabriel Catholic Radio strong so that we can continue to spark our faith in our community. 614-459-4820.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, we have David Martin taking over the host seat, and he'll be joined by Father David Sizemore from St. Francis de Sales Parish in Newark. Father Adam, thank you so much. You're the early bird here with us. We appreciate you coming in for our kickoff each morning. Thank you for all that you do. I know you enjoy it, and it's such a blessing to us to have to be able to share your gifts with all of our listeners. So thank you.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Can you leave us with your blessing?
Sure. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Coming up next, David Martin with Father Dave Sizemore.
Hi, this is Joanne Wilson, former board member, remembering the very beginnings of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. We believe it started with Father Sizemore leading the board through the enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Jesus answered our prayer in even a miraculous way, leading us and helping us to secure financing and direction to our now far-reaching audience. We, like you, have come to depend on St. Gabriel for our spiritual boost and truthful content in these most difficult times. We cannot take it for granted. We need you. It is of utmost importance that you stand, be counted, and make that difference for continued excellent Catholic programming. Like Chuck and I, we stand with you and continue to ask the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus to protect and guide us and all at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Be a subscriber today and tune into the Sacred Heart Hour at 8 a.m. on the first Fridays of the month with Father Stosh Daly and Chuck and I. God bless.
Sarah clubs throughout the world pray for and support the priesthood and consecrated religious life. Please join in our prayer for vocations.
O God, who wills not the death of a sinner, but rather that he be converted and live, grant, we beseech you, through the